Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This episode of Guns Blazing is brought to you by the people at 3Chi. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. So go to 3Chi.com to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, gummies, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S, the numbers 21, at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's code GUNS21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
All right, Todd, we got a special guest popping in today. He's quite the animal. Coming out of Temple, you know what I mean, over in Philly. Big Cape May guy here, now playing for the Panthers. Guy does all types of shit. You got great podcast, Not For Long Media. He's just doing his thing, and he's not a one-track dude. This guy's, you know, he's got that Pat vibe, Todd, where he's just you know, he's got every part of his life is filled up because he's doing something. This man doesn't rest, even on this day off in the middle of at the end of a season here. Let's welcome Colin Thompson to the show, Todd.
Hey, Mr. The multi-dimensional Colin Thompson, everybody.
That's him right there. Another multi-dimensional. You're in your late 20s, right? How old are you, Colin?
I just turned 28.
Yes. Happy birthday, December 16th or something, right?
15th. Close. Good.
Close. I was doing my research in the last couple of days, and I saw that. Happy late birthday, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys coming on, Sean and Todd. Obviously, I've had Sean on my pod. I got to have Todd on my pod now to make it, you know, make the world balance. But yeah, I stay busy, man. It's been fun. You know, I probably learned it all from my mom. My mom's been in retail for 30 years. She didn't go to college. She got on a train every day, got up at 5 a.m. and instead of going to college, she would take the train, you know, from probably Trenton, New Jersey area to New York City, and would drive an hour to the train and then take the train in and start working in New York at 18 in fashion design, merchandising, retailing. And then in 88, she started her own company, LSL Brands, got a bunch of different stores underneath of it in Peddler's Village, an area right outside of New Hope, PA, big shopping, Christmas Village, and then store in Princeton, New Jersey, and then a big hub now in Cape May, New Jersey. And then she just recently purchased the original Fudge Kitchen, which is a 50 years of fudge down the Jersey Shore. So she's been rocking it.
Jesus, your mom is a savage.
She's a rock star. She's got her hand in everything. Every store is different from intimate apparel to pajamas to Yetis to Green Eggs to you name it, Guy Harvey, Under Armour, Columbia. She's got a whole, you know, men's and women's clothes, all these different stores. You know, she probably has 20 total stores, ranging from chocolate to, you know, to bras and panties. As a kid, I was like ripping open boxes and like, putting like, you know, I'm like, you know, numb to it because I don't really like, it's not a thing to me, like an attraction thing. Cause I was like working it as a kid and putting labels on them and, you know,
Yeah.
Just this constantly little grind and $4 an hour. And I asked my mom, I'm like, Mom, $4 an hour? That's like child labor. You know,
it's a donation.
And she's like, well, you don't understand, Colin. I would give you, you know, $40 for lunch and you get like two Subway sandwiches and you get all this food. And so that's.
Yeah. You're 6'5", 250 pound ass, bro.
Yeah. So it was good, man. It's been a hell of a journey. My parents are unbelievable, both entrepreneurs, and just gave me that kind of grind spirit. Obviously implemented to my, you know, my football craft, but was always talked about in my family of do more, you know, never sit still. And I'm probably more like my mom like that, where I'm in a bunch of different things. So it's been a fun grind. Football's given me a lot of opportunities to have a podcast, to be on, sit on boards, to fundraise, to do a bunch of different things, to coach football. So why not take advantage of the opportunities? It's led me to great people like you guys.
Man, so there's just literally no days off in the Thompson family.
There's like, no days off.
No slacking. Get up and do
no
something.
No days off.
Who hosted Christmas? So who hosted Christmas then?
So I live in a house up here on Lake Norman, which is just a little north of Charlotte, North Carolina. Just a little getaway. I got up here last year during COVID, and it was a little 30-minute commute, and was no big deal. This year, you know, it's no big deal too, but you know, we couldn't do anything during COVID last year. So I would just be up here on the lake starting fires and hanging out and just getting away a bit. I still do it. So the in-laws drove in from Houston, Texas. Shout out to the Priest. They stopped.
Nice run they went on.
Yeah, they stopped in Destin. They got a place there and then drove up. And then my parents flew in Christmas Day. Mom works to the last minute on Christmas Eve, as you guys can imagine. That's a big
retail.
Retail, yeah. So, yeah, they flew down Christmas Day. My brother. His boyfriend, Danny Cio, has been on the podcast, fairly, very successful daytime TV, NBC. He's won a bunch of awards. He's got his own magazine, Naturally Danny Cio and Brew Magazine. So it's been great, man. It was great to hang out with everybody. We had dinner Christmas night. I ended up not playing, was not active for the game on Sunday. So, you know, was able to hang out with the family, enjoy some quality time and some steaks. And it was great. So we hosted here in Carolina, which was, it's been fun. You know, my wife and I just got married.
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, thank you, guys, in June and Cape May. So, yeah, just a lot of chaos going on, man. We keep it moving here.
Cape May is nice, Todd. Yeah, Cape May is a southern tip of New Jersey, Todd, and it's just beach. It's just beaches down there and good vibes. I see that, you know, you're so supportive of like the local aspect, too, of it, that which I'm assuming just comes from your mom and small business and that feeling because of how much you already do. I saw you were sharing some, I think it was like fudge brownie stouts, which I'm a huge stout guy when it comes to chocolate. You throw chocolate in there, any kind of peanut butter, you get those, you know, a lot of vanilla in there. I mean, those beers are so good.
So my mom, so Cape May Brewing Company, and luckily these are all sponsors of my podcast. So this is great. These are friends and sponsors, right? You guys know there's nothing better.
Yeah.
It's a win-win for everybody. And the owner of Cape May Brewing Company, Ryan Krill, is our neighbor in Cape May, New Jersey. And in Cape May Brewing Company is the number two distributor of beer behind Anheuser-Busch in all New Jersey. Think about that. I mean, that's a huge – Anheuser-Busch, obviously, Budweiser. But, yeah. But I mean, Cape May Brewing Company is massive. And I know you probably have a little bit of a Jersey listening. Like, if you can get down there and there's people that know and like Cape May Brew, you can get it Eastern PA, all of Delaware – and all of Jersey. I mean, in any of your stores, Cape May Brew. So it's money. So my mom bought the original Fudge Kitchen. And then Ryan's our neighbor. And we always joked around, we should collaborate on a beer. So I said, hey, let's do a Christmas stout, a little fudge, celebrating 50 years of business. And yeah, so that's how it started. 9% strong. I haven't had it.
Wow.
I haven't had it yet.
Is that throughout New Jersey? Because I'm going to get that.
I don't know if you could buy that in Jersey. I think it's just a little sell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a little.
No, I get that. I love those kind of releases.
Yeah, so a little really the local release, but their beer is unbelievable. And again, I'm not a craft beer guy. Like I like my choice of beers like Corona Light, and like if we're out and about having a bunch, it's like Coors Light or Mick Ultra's. Like I'm not a big heavy beer guy.
Yeah,
I just like having a bunch of them. To have a couple of those, like their mop water is unbelievable. Like their Oktoberfest is unbelievable. Like their IPA beers, some are IPA, some are just a different Belgium. They have everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's money, man.
I'm all about it. What a lot of people don't realize when they talk about drinking beers that you can't associate the way you drink. It's two different, it's almost like two, it's completely two different alcohols. You're drinking, you know, it's like drinking, you're going to be drinking Pinot, you know, or something almost. And it's in the same realm of, if I'm going to be drinking a special batch of this hot fudge stout made by this unbelievable, and any operation who can just have a quick conversation and then put that into production, that's a legitimate next level operation, because that's no, it's already hard enough to like try to find someone who would ever collaborate on a, you know, any kind of whiskey or a beer or something like that. But to be having the convo and make it happen, and it's ready rock and it's for sale, that's, so they have to be making unbelievable beer there. And
Unreal.
It's like drinking wine. It really is. Like when you think about it, because it's 9%, which is what a lot of red wines are, 14, 13 in that realm percent alcohol. And you're not, you can't drink 10 of those. Like you're not, no one's coming to hang out and drink 10 fucking hot, you know, hot fudge brownie stouts at 9%. You'll die.
You will.
You can't.
It's so thin. Like I can, I'll sip on a stout every now and then, but it's just not my kind of hang, you know?
Yeah.
But they're also, they fill you up. It's like eating when you drink one. It's like, oh, I just feel like I just ate a sandwich. You know,
like, I've never like, I guess I'm a big boy at heart. Like that never does me. Like I'm just like, yep, yeah, beer. Like people are like, beer fills me up. I'm like, yeah, no, it doesn't fill me up at all. I mean,
yeah, it was just those kind, like Coors Light and Yingling. Yeah. Like there's no other.
Yingling, but beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I my old roommate in Long Beach, and one of my best friends on the planet, was a Stone Brewery rep for years. We bartended for years. He was a wine rep before that, but he was a Stone Brewery rep when we lived together for about a year before I moved to Indy. And our refrigerator didn't have food in it, really. I mean, one or two shelves would have some whatever we're having for dinner last night or tonight or whatever, and there were sauces. But for the most part, the whole fridge looked like a craft beer liquor store, because he would just come in, because he goes around and when he's new accounts and he's new, they sample. They got all this. They just have two fat coolers full of all the beers that are either seasonal or that they're looking to put in.
Yeah, people
and,
come out too. They want you to try, yep, take a six pack. You're like, sure. And then, hey, Sean, take this. Yeah, my uncle owns another sponsor of the podcast, Shots and Giggles, which is a bar in Key West, right behind Sloppy Joe's, for those that go to Key West, a little locals bar back there. He was a Southern wine and liquor rep in Key West for a decade, bartender.
That's it.
For 2 decades. And it's just like, we would get all the cool beer mats and stuff. Like, there's like it's Stoli mats. We used to, now that I'm older and I want to build bars and do that, I'm like, can you send them to me? It's like, I'm out of the business. I'm now, he owns a bar, but now those things are all regulated. You don't get all the beer and booze crap you used to get. Mm-hmm. Like back in the day, I just remember being a kid and like, he was got stacks of like Tito's. And,
yep.
Here's a fun story.
The mirrors too. I used to get a ton of the mirrors.
Oh, the mirrors.
From this bar I worked at, we sold so much Corona. We were like the number one of the top accounts in the country, at least in their region.
Yeah,
so I would just request mirrors. I'd get like
a mirror in Todd's house already.
Five. Yeah. I mean, get like 5 foot Pacifico mirrors.
This whole wall would be beer mirrors if I had them.
So here's a fun booze story, right? This is a podcast. We're off the rails. There was definitely some agenda here, but we're all podcast guys at heart, so we can let it rip. So I thought about my uncle's bar. And again, I grew up, I always say this, I grew up on a bar stool, and it sounds really weird, but I grew up on a bar stool, especially in Key West with my family. And I learned a lot of things. My dad likes to have his beers. He likes to go to happy hour. And I learned a lot of things you don't do, things you do, lessons. You kind of smell stuff before it happens. Again, we're not in like rowdy places per se. We're in great little spots, eating oysters and shrimp. And it's, you know, old school Jimmy Buffett vibe. And I always say it to people and it rubs people the wrong way, but I've been able to talk to people older than me. Some of my best friends are 40s, 50s, 60s guys. You know, it's just kind of who I am. And I really think it's because of that. So there's a lot of good bar stories, but my uncle owns Shots and Giggles in Key West. But when Tito's wasn't this what they are now, let's say, I don't know, this is like 5 to 10 years ago. His bar's 10 years old. So maybe the first 2 years of the bar, Tito's was their well vodka. They were the only well vodka in Key West. So you ask for Tito's and you ask for, you know, vodka club, boom, you're getting Tito's. And it's at the regular well price points. And they were getting people in and getting people hooked up with Tito's. So I guess Tito's and Deep Eddie's were together and they split. And
what? Okay. Okay. And Deep Eddie's, you said. Okay. Okay. I didn't hear that at first.
Yeah. So I think Eddie was with Tito and they wanted to do flavored booze. I love how we're talking booze today. And the funny thing, I bought Christmas gifts for everyone in the building today. And I, you know, it's all booze. Probably that's why I'm thinking about it sitting here. Of course.
I love it. Listen, I have such a hangover right now. We're talking about booze. It's one of those hangovers where I'm going to have to start drinking. Like, it's the only way to get through this. Like, I'm going to have to have like 4 beers.
Yeah. And Sean, we got to talk about Kelly before we finish. I mean, that's.
Yeah, we do.
We do. Shout out to the Friendly Sons of the Shoei LA Club at the Jersey Shore.
Shout out Kelly's, bro, Neptune.
Kelly's, Neptune. My uncle's the former president of the Shoei LA Club right there in Neptune. So, long story short, he has Tito's would come in, right? And Tito's in the marketing phase of Tito's. Now, again, not what they are now. Number one vodka in the world times 10, I'm assuming. He would come in pour Tito's for everybody, right? He would swipe the credit card, pay for the bottle, right? And then just pour Tito's and whatever Tito's want. He would guest celebrity pour. So when he would come, though, he would come every year, every 6 months, he would take the Deep Eddies and pour it down the drain. Everything, the whole rack. He would take all and then pay per shot, not per bottle, pay per shot. So they would make their money off of it, right? And because they split up and were rivals.
Wow.
My uncle's a great storyteller, too.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that before.
Deep Eddies would come in, and he would bartend. He'd pour the Tito's down the drain. And he would pay per shot. So it was a whole rivalry for a while there. They don't come back as much now. They're so big.
Yeah.
They're out of the marketing phase now. They're probably in the sustainability phase. But yeah, so you guys reach down to Key West, and you pop in on a weekend. My uncle will be there working, hanging out.
We got to just go down there and film and record, bro.
Yeah, I'll be there in February. I'll be there.
Oh, shit.
Fishing, doing a little bit of everything, getting away. It's like a place where we hang out. So, yeah, I digress. A fun little booze store.
I have like two cases of different flavored vodka, like promotional stuff. You know, when I own part of a comedy club and we closed, we had to do something with all the shit. And I was the last one to show up. So I just got left with all the promo alcohol that they would send you. Like, oh, try this flavor. So I got all these weird fucking flavors of terrible cheap vodka, like it's like salmon flavored vodka. You're like, nobody drinks salmon flavored vodka.
Well, probably be good with a bloody. You have to really. Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you just made that up, right? Yeah, it's not really a flavor.
No, but there's some weird shit out there, man.
Oh yeah, there is. I did, Sean. Now you're formerly Barstool. Do you follow Large on Instagram?
Oh no, I talked to Large more than anybody in that building by a long shot. I talked to him all the time. I talked to him about 10 different times this weekend.
He did the 25 shots of Christmas and the inappropriate followed by the inappropriate joke. I mean, you were talking about good quality entertainment.
That guy but that guy's another level. He's like, he should be at, you know, he should be a food blogger and vlogger for like wine, you know, wine and food magazine. Cause his level of his intellectual levels, his experience levels, his financial, like freedom for so long to be able to, and then take that food, that curiosity and that cooking and everything he's done. He's had the ability to do so much shit. And he's just
a guy. He's a genius. He's a genius.
He's a 100% genius. He works at Barstool just for fun, for something to do.
They need to get back on the radio. They need to find I mean, I know Sirius was a good platform for him. We talked about, and I'm no McAfee. I appreciate the compliment before, but good. Congrats to him getting paid. That's unbelievable. And that's for everyone in this industry, right? Like that's,
yeah.
That's so, not, yeah. Like he sets the market now, and that's a wonderful thing.
It's like whenever a player or a quarterback or a baseball or a shortstop gets paid, you know, all of a sudden out of nowhere, they get a 15, you know, a 10-year, $385 million deal or something. It's obviously he wins, but he sets the bar now for the rest of the league.
Everybody in foot sports too, because the salary cap, they're like, oh, why do they take that money? Well, you take that money because little guys like me, maybe you get a $500,000 more, you know, you can negotiate, you know, whatever that is. And it's life changing money, but
what, and it lets the big boys know, like ESPN and all that stuff. Know, you know, hey, you better pay competitively because now there's a roadmap for guys to get quarterback money on their own without being affiliated with any network at all. Just crazy. Doing it out of their office on their own YouTube channel.
And he really, again, they've had some talent there. I'll finish with the Large stuff. Is that guy needs to get on the air bad. His show, Barstool Breakfast with Willie, was hysterical. My wife's obsessed with it. They crossed all boundaries. They did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they stopped or didn't do a pod. I'm sure there's more to it. I'm sure finances are a thing, but
I think also Willie's now doing Sirius. I don't know exactly. I haven't actually hit Willie up about it, but he's on a whole other show. I don't even know if he's even at Barstool anymore.
No, I don't think he is. No,
yeah. But he's on that other show now. So that's mostly he took off of that. But yeah, Large at the end of the day is basically should be working for fucking Food and Wine magazine. You know what I mean?
It's unbelievable. Like they're for Gentleman Fridays where they come in and they have the wine tasters and the food.
I used to get hammered every Friday. I was on my show buzzing at minimum. By like the 20-minute mark of my show every Friday, I had already had sampled three different wines or brandies or whiskeys or concoctions. I had already ate, you know, three different cheeses from four different counties and fucking, you know, outside of whatever the capital of Germany is.
It's unbelievable. Like, if you look, and then they would go out all day in New York. They would just start boosting at like 10 a.m. They'd just be hitting brunch spots and then work their way to whatever and then move home. It's incredible. No,
as long as you make a content, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they see the difference of him and a lot of people there. So that's why it works. Yeah, you know, we're talking about football a little bit, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I just wanted to touch on a few things. You know, obviously, I think you guys are, you're 5-10 right now.
Yeah, struggling.
Yeah, but you obviously had a great start to the season, you know, then a little bit of mid. But right now, the whole team was sent home this week. Why do you think that the COVID is it the protocols that's changing everything, that the way they adjust protocols, or is it the fact that everybody's just kind of like, it is what it is at this point? We're all just trying to still live and be human. So they can blame it on Americon or whatever the fuck it's called, the Ramacon.
Omicron.
Omicron. So
fuck Omicron, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think they sent you guys home a couple of days, like yesterday before, right? The whole team got sent.
Yeah. We were in the building and we were there for about half the day. We only had about 2 hours left. It wasn't, you know, it was dramatic, like, horn going off, like, escape, you know, like, hey guys, we're just not going to meet. And we had a meeting in about an hour. I was grabbing lunch. But again, like, first off, I don't know the answers to any of this stuff. None of us really do. I'm not a doctor. I don't want to, you know, there's just like that other issue with all this stuff. It's all politically charged, and which is crazy to me. This is just health and wellness. So for the standpoint of what we did, they just let us out of the building early. Again, no siren going off. And what's the difference? I think we're just a little microcosm of society. Like, we have our own little society inside the building. There's 70 players with the active roster and the practice squad. There's, say, another, you know, 25 coaches, and then another 25 front office members. There's a cafeteria staff. There's athletic trainers. There's equipment managers. There's strength staff. There's greenskeeper, right? There's all these different people, right? So we're just a little microcosm that goes home to their families and comes to work.
Yeah.
Just like any functioning business. Ours is a little more personal, right? Like, we're hitting each other. We're in the hot tub together. We're in the sauna together. So it's a little bit different in that regard. So a little more close contact, but it's spreading in our country a little bit right now. There's a little
of course. No, it's spiked everywhere.
Yeah. So it's going to spike in the NFL. That's the way I take it. Also, it's the holidays, right? So you have Thanksgiving, which was about a month ago, right? Mm-hmm. So right to the T, it was a month ago. So that's a little bit of a spike. And then you get the holidays and then
shopping gathering. Yeah.
Plus we're traveling. I mean, we're traveling. And a part of the CBA was, if you get your vaccine, you can go out to have a bite to eat with people. You know, you can meet family when you go to a town. That was the whole leverage of, hey, get vaccinated and this will happen. And if you're unvaccinated, you can't leave the hotel. You can't do any of those type of things. So yeah, I think they're just pulling back the reins a little bit and say, hey, listen, you know, and the NFL's changed their testing, which is kind of, they're the first in front of this new way of, hey, if you're asymptomatic and you have COVID, you know, you can come back to the building once you test negative. You don't have to like quarantine in the whole nine. Plus, if you don't have any symptoms, period, you don't have to test. So
that's nice.
Yeah. So that's nice. I mean, it's a new way of doing it. Are we contagious if you have it and you may not have any symptoms? I have no idea. I don't know. But
yeah, are you contagious if you have it, but you have no symptoms, but you're vaccinated, you got the booster, you've been doing everything you're not supposed to, you know, you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So it's unique, right? And again, we're just a microcosm. Butt heads and be face to face and yell at each other face to face on Sunday and then put our masks on and go on the plane. And, you know, so it's tough. There's no really right way to do it, especially in this business. It really isn't.
Yeah.
Well, at least we're still having games, you know, like it's one thing when it affects like your job, when you work at like the post office or some shit, where nobody gives a fuck, but whether you guys go to work today, I mean, yeah, I want my mail, but ultimately, but we all bitch if you can't go to work, right? Like, God damn. No, we talk about no games, you know, it just happened to hockey. Like, my future in-laws planned this trip a long time ago to go to Vegas. They wanted to catch a game and it got canceled. So I don't know. Is it frustrating for you in that way too? Or how do you look at the world right now? Because I get pissed off all the time. I'm like, restaurants suck. Like, they can't get good help. And the world just seems so different.
It is so different, right? It is so different. I when it comes to canceling a game, one thing that people don't know probably is if these games aren't played, we don't get paid.
Right.
We don't get a check. We live paycheck to paycheck per week, right? And that sounds bad, living paycheck to paycheck. We don't. We're very blessed. But we live per week. Yeah. So there's 18 weeks in the season, 17 games in a bye week. We get paid our salary. So if some game gets canceled because of COVID, that's 1/18th of your check. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
So let's say people who are on the COVID list, the whole game isn't canceled or whatever, but they –
They can have like a separate pay bracket. I don't think they're paid fully, but they're paid
differently. It's not as much.
It's not as much. So, I mean, to answer Todd's question, what's going on in the world? Again, my mom's in retail. She's lucky, and not lucky because she earned it, but she's really fortunate, right? Again, because she did this, does things the right way to have a great base of employees. Like, retail's not easy. It's like, hey, work Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're going to be off Monday, Tuesday. How's that sound? You're
going to
be
off. No tips or any of that.
No, you're crying, but she has a great environment and great family environment. We're all involved. My dad's heavily involved in the company as well. My brother works for my mom full time. He's one of the major beacons of the business. So even when I'm not there, even when I'm coming back at the fudge kitchen, I'm scraping the pans. I'm trying to get involved as much as I can because A, I enjoy it, and B, it's family business. It's what it's all about. So, but she has great employees that are there that are in place for decades and to make it work. But if a lot of people, right, you're talking about building a brand, you gotta sell people now to come work for you.
Oh yeah.
Right? It's different.
You're not doing nobody no favors anymore.
Right.
No. So, and it's a weird dynamic, right? And then, right, the trade industry, that's taken off, but is it, the prices are higher? I don't really know a ton of things, but I know this, that it's not what it used to be, Todd, like you said.
I know.
And
it gets frustrating, man. And I'm an old dude, I'm 50 years old, so I'm pretty well set. Like, I was set in my ways. And then you're like, oh, and now COVID's going to come through and it's going to redo everything. Like,
that's why people, I think, were so right. Just get the vaccine and let's go.
Like, yeah.
How can I take my mask off as quick as possible and just go back to normal life? So I get why people are migrating to Texas and Florida. And because there's that, right? It doesn't make you, in my opinion, like a crazy Republican or whatever. It's just, you just want to, and again, not talking politics. I'm not a political person, but people just want to get back to that feeling of like, I want to be at a restaurant and leave a great tip, leave a great tip for somebody, right? And enjoy that experience with family and breaking bread. And it's been great to be able to do that this holiday season a little bit and just be around
people. Yeah, you're right, man. Those are two states where it's kind of like a time machine, but only going back 3 years. It's like this; it never happened. So that's what it feels like there. And I think it is like, it's, you know what? That's, people are being rewarded by going there in that way. And not everybody's moving there because they're political views, Some of them just like, this is what the world used to be. This is how the country used to be.
And I will say here, I mean, it's a selective, there's probably, I'd say, a 50-50 split right now in stores I see. And because if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask in stores here.
Yeah.
Now, some cities, they've upped it. Like, I know Newark, a few other places, but like where I'm at, there ain't, if you want to wear one, go ahead. If you don't, then don't. All the staff wears them, but you wouldn't. Otherwise, it's pretty much no. Like, as soon as you get into the restaurant, I don't think we wear them in the restaurants either anymore. Only the staff has them.
We don't hear the
staff though. Like, you're trying to create, this weekend, right? We're, I'm with my family and we're having dinner. And the server, you could tell he's got a big personality, great guy. He's working Christmas night, like grinding, right? Grinding. And just comes in with an awesome spirit, but you could barely hear him because he had a mask on.
Yeah.
Right. He's working the biggest tip of the year right now. Again, you take care of him. Absolutely. But I was just like, man, this guy just wants to pull his mask down so badly. And I just want to be like, dude, just pull it down and tell us some specials. Like, you don't have
to. Yeah.
Right. He's
sitting through the whole menu, right?
Pull your shit down and tell us the specials. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I've actually read an article.
The comedy clubs, because the staff have to wear them in the comedy clubs. And that's an environment already where you have to whisper. You only communicate through whisper, like lean into the, but now you got a mask on. Nobody can hear you worth a fuck.
I read an article the other day. I don't remember where it was at, but it said basically saying that the balance has been shifted into more equal between ugly and good looking servers because of the mask. The fools that, because on, you know, better looking people get a higher average tip. Their average tip is higher because they're better looking. So the mask has brought the ugly hard workers to the fucking forefront, and now they're getting recognized. I mean, no pun intended, but they're getting recognized and they're getting more money.
This is how shitty human beings are. Because that's absolutely true. That, like, how shitty we are as people. Like,
I'm not responding to any of that.
I'm just saying this. That was an article I read. Obviously, I said ugly and pretty, but I meant like overall, it's like more.
Well, here's the thing.
Looking people and making.
Here's a Colin Cowherd quote, and I listen to Colin a lot of these. Pretty smart man. Listen a lot in the offseason. I don't like listening to the football stuff. I think he's got great stuff about football, but he always talks about Jimmy Garoppolo. And like how he's got confidence. And he's like, listen, people with confidence, it stems from a young age. When you're the best looking guy walking around the playground, you have confidence. I was not. I'm not. I had to work on my confidence. Sports helped me with confidence. And I, you know, whether he's right or wrong, I don't really know. But I know it's an interesting take.
It's a dev. That was a wild little study.
Great looking people.
Like these quarterbacks, right? These quarterbacks have swagger, right? Look at Tom Brady. He's a good looking guy. Garoppolo's a good-looking guy, right? There's a lot of studs out there. Mahomes, mm-hmm. You know, he's got the, they have the look.
Some people got the whole package. You're just like Pat, you know, another dude. He's got the full package, bro. No, he's just like, ready to rock.
This guy, man, like, we talk about him a lot, Sean, but he's just – I don't really listen to a show. I don't – it just doesn't work out in my kind of grind.
Yeah.
Plus, he talks a lot of football, and I'm like, I don't need to hear about the spreads and whatever. I just like tough and
sick.
Really dive into that. I love hockey podcasts. I listen to a lot of Chicklets all the time. But
Those guys are so funny, bro.
Oh, they're so funny.
And, God.
I'm missing curfew out west. So, but yeah, I mean, Pat's just a beast.
Yeah. I mean, also, are they playing any cornhole in the locker room there at all? Any guys that are good?
We had it rolling last year. We really did. But COVID, again, you had to take it out.
It ruined fucking cornhole in the locker room. What do you got to draw the line somewhere, man?
What's the biggest cash game you've seen? Like, how much money was at stake? Biggest game in the locker room for cornhole?
Well, no cornhole cash games. There's some card games. I don't know if there's money being handed around. I don't know. I don't know.
We got that question because Pat would talk about some monster cornhole games going for five figures and shit. And we were in the locker room back in the day when they were all in, because Pat's unbelievable at cornhole. He played. He can only, kickers have them days where when they're not kicking, they can't do shit. They're just playing cornhole.
Yeah.
Vinatieri also unbelievable at cornhole.
He used to joke about he made more money in the locker room than he did, punting when he first got started before he got his big contract. Like, he's like, man, the guys wanted to bet on everything, according to him. He was so good. He's one of those guys that's so good at just like, drinking game, anything that involves backyard shit. Like, the guy is just phenomenal at it.
Yeah. I know guys that could go from the ping pong table to the mini, whatever. The
pool, whatever.
Pool. Yeah, no, there's always – I mean, I've heard stories of back in the day, the old plane rides and the cash games and just the chaos. But times have changed now. They always talk about it on Chicklets. Like, the old hockey guys would go into the bar and, the old joke is like, where's the bar where the hockey players go? Well, it's the first one to the left, the closest one from the stadium. So – here now it's like we got a protein shake, take a little Advil, it's a little bit different.
Right.
Yeah, no. So you got obviously with playoffs coming up, you're gonna off season starting up. What's Colin Thompson rocking into in this off? Because last off season you were going pretty bonkers. What do you got going on this time?
Yeah, I hit the gas pedal with the podcast. Training, obviously. Don't get me wrong. We talk about a lot of things, but football has been the main thing for me for a long time.
Of course.
I spend most of my hours of the day, but, I talk about that all the time. So this off season, a little bit of travel. Obviously,
you and your lady taking off?
Yeah, we are. We're going to see some new places. We're going to get out to San Diego. I've spent a little bit of time out there. But we're going to do a little travel, do a little Key West. We're going to the Bahamas for our honeymoon. The honeymoon thing with Kenneth, our buddy COVID kind of got in the way there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Didn't feel like it was the right. We got married in June, and then I go to training camp right in July. That's a tough transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
you can't go. You can't rush anything in between that.
Yeah, you go wedding July 4th, then I would be a puddle for camp. So,
yeah,
I can't do that. So, yeah, we're going to do a little honeymoon and do a little bit of this, do a lot, traveling. And then training-wise, you know, change up some a few things like I do every year, reassess what I did last year, see how the body feels. I haven't played as much as I did last year. I've been inactive for a couple games. And then I'm on the practice squad, so I've kind of bounced around at a few different things. But you know, blessed to have a job, blessed to be on the team. And so, you know, early on in the year, you know, took a few shots. You always take a couple shots here and there that kind of linger, and they last, yeah. They go away. And then you forget about them the next year, and then maybe they come back. So just reassess where the body's at, see what I need to do, gain weight, lose weight, probably lose some weight. I can make my body weight fluctuate pretty quickly on different meals or so. But, yeah, so that's kind of insight of what I'll be doing this offseason, coaching football like I always have, down in Cape May, Lower Cape May High School there. Just grinding, man. Staying involved as much as I can. I'm sure I'll add a few things here and there.
You love doing special teams?
Yeah. You know what? You don't really have a choice when you're at the bottom of the league. You know, when you're the third, fourth tight end, you're going. You are. There's no. I mean, our starting tight end plays on special teams.
Yeah,
it's so crazy how it works. So the active roster is 53 people. On game day, only 46 dress. So there's seven people that don't play, that are just in street clothes like this. They're wearing Panther shirt, mm-hmm. Panthers hat. They're hanging out. They still make the same amount of money,
yeah,
as your active paycheck, but you're inactive. So it protects maybe a player that's banged up, and they don't have to put them on injury reserve, which
okay,
minimum. Makes sense. Yeah, so you'll be like, say, 3-week injury reserve short term, or you'll go long term, and then you're done for the year, right? So essentially, my point is like, then take 46 people, right? You have 46 people, which is crazy. College football got 100 guys on the sideline that dress, maybe 80 to 100.
Jesus.
Right. So think about it. That's why the game's so different. When they compare, like, hey, but Alabama beat, you know, who X team?
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't. If we played college football rules, if you have 80 NFL guys, they would run them out of the building. But
right.
It's so that's what the thing is. So you go 46. So then you go two quarterbacks, take them out. They're not playing special teams. Maybe three. So just say 46, 43 players. And then take another, whatever. The O-line doesn't play special teams other than field goal. So, like, take eight of them out, right? And then take another, you know, your starting DB won't. Take another 10 guys won't. So you only have, like, 20 guys to field four units, 44 positions, right, on special teams. So you're playing. There's guys that are in the league just for special teams. A couple of my buddies across the league are. Yeah, they can still play ball. You'll see them in the preseason make all these tackles and do all these things in games because they're good players. But they're really good on special teams, and their ceiling isn't what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of an intro. What, like, my buddy Medakevich, Tyler Medakevich, he had 100 tackles a year at Temple. He won the Nagurski Award and Defensive Player of the Year Award at Temple his last year. For four straight years, 100 tackles. I don't know if he started an NFL game at linebacker. He was a 7th-round pick by the Steelers. I think he led the NFL in special teams tackles every year, or almost every other year he's been in the league. Now he's in Buffalo. Crazy.
Wow. Big red beard. That is awesome.
Yeah, so
watch. That's great. I mean, that's also heart right there. You're like, all right, because no matter what, you're in. Like, you have to feel like I'm in, that you let me in. Like, I'm drafted. I'm out on this field. Now, it's, you know, all your bullshit is aside. Like, I'm in now.
You got tape. Once you get tape, they can't take it away from you. Tape doesn't lie. Right, you
can see. Don't lie, bro.
Yeah, don't lie. Ball don't lie, they say.
It's like you're always gonna have that first kick, your first ever NFL touch. It happened to be a touchdown. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Which is so dope.
The first NFL snap was a run in Tampa where I played in the XFL like 6 months before, and the league folded, and I'm like, I ain't going to the league. I don't know if I got enough tape, but Panthers gave me a shot, and I was lucky enough. My first NFL play, we scored, and Christian McCaffrey ran right behind me. It was unbelievable. Like, it was like.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I've had some unbelievable moments, man. It's like crazy. Like, we played in Dallas this year. I was at the Super Bowl when Aaron Rodgers won it, Green Bay Packers against the Steelers there. It was the first one. Jerry built the stadium, right, so you get guaranteed a Super Bowl. And I shouldn't be calling him Jerry. He could be my boss one day. So long story short, I went to the Super Bowl. My buddy won a Nikon camera competition, submitted it, took a picture of my buddy Dez, who played at Rutgers, running back, picture of him scoring, submitted it, and he won the best NFL picture or whatever, high school football picture. So we got four tickets, four plane tickets, two hotel rooms, and like cash and a bunch of cameras and stuff, and he sold it. Shout out to Mike P. And
he sold the whole package?
No, he sold all like the cameras and all that stuff. The Nikon stuff. We had cash and whatever. And he went to the Super Bowl. So we went to the line that was like 4 hours long by mistake. And every other line was like 20 minutes to get into the game. So we get there like a kickoff. And I'm like running up the steps. And we're in like Jerry's World. And like I always wanted to play in the NFL. This is my senior year in high school. We just won the state championship. I'm going to University of Florida. I was All-American. It was a lot of awesome things. And then when I got to college, everything hit rock bottom. I had a bunch of injuries and surgeries. And, you know, it's been a bumpy ride, in the middle part of my career. But I walked up and boom, like the air and everything. We were on the top level. So I walked up the steps and like I was just in this huge place. And the kickoff was happening. I was like fighting back emotion. It was like, this is unbelievable. Like, this is what I want to do. And then to play there this year was incredible.
That's dope.
And that was a close game. It was like 36-28 or something around there.
Yeah,
it was
when we were too really rolling, man. We would have been 4-0 at that point.
Yep.
That was a good game. And, you know, that's a team that we would have probably faced in the playoffs if we stayed in this wild card picture here.
Yeah.
A team we match up well with. Obviously, it's a close game. We struggled to do some things offensively that day. They ran the ball very well, too. They've always ran the ball well. So,
If SiriusXM comes at you right now and they're like, Colin, listen, we need you to host a 2-hour show. It could be about anything you want. We don't care what the topic is, what the theme of your show is. How are you setting up your show? Like, ideally in your head, if I could do anything for 2 hours on a microphone on radio, what would it be?
Wow. What a great, great question.
Thank you.
I think... Wow, that's a great question. I mean, we talked
about it. Would it be sports? Like, because you're
it would be more of my interest. We'd probably be more towards the podcast. Because the podcast, we've had people on, like Sean.
Yeah. I don't think we mentioned anything about football.
Almost. All walks of life, people.
We've had Christian McCaffrey on, right? Like a monster. We've had like Adam Schefter on, monsters in the football, titans in the football business. But we've had a lot of other people on, like MLB players. We've had chefs on. We've had lifestyle people on. I like looking at it because we're 50 episodes now. It's been great. And I started it 4 years ago. The reason why it's called Not For Long is when I got cut from the Giants, I had emergency appendectomy and they cut me. And I was like, wow, the NFL stands for Not For Long. And I'm like, ding, there's a
podcast. Oh, I like it. Yeah. I like that story behind that too. Yeah, I was wondering what it stood for.
So it's a great question. What I would probably do, 2 hours, I would talk a little football. I would probably make it very podcasty. Have some great guests. I just have my friends on. Sean, it's Friday. Like, Todd, it's Friday. Like, come by. We're going to do what Large does. Like,
yeah.
Get some food cranking. Like, yeah. I don't know. That's a great question. I would have to.
Like that. That's how Pat's show. When it hit Sirius, now it's very, I mean, it's all sports and gambling now. Yeah. But when we first started, man, it was a little bit of football, pretty much. A little bit of it. But mostly it was just like you felt like you were on a podcast. And I love those kind of shows.
It would be podcasty, right? Everyone says it's the old cliche, sitting at the bar with the guys, right? Like, it's true though. I think that's what I'd probably do. I probably have my friends on from all over the place, whether they're like famous or not, and talk about their experiences. I have bartenders on from Key West. Hey, it's Fantasy Fest. What's going on down there? You know, stuff like that. And so maybe some fun stories and kind of create some characters like Stern has over the years. I grew up listening to a little bit of Stern and my dad. And
I missed that on radio. There's all these
characters that would come on that everybody knew. And I think that's how I would do it.
I love that.
It's a grind though, man. These everyday shows. I did radio a couple of years ago. Again, when I was in and out of the league, when I got out of college, I was in and out all these different things for like 4 straight years. My fifth year, I really got my first taste of the league. Fourth year, I got my real taste of the league, which last year, that's my fifth year. And like consistency, not like practice squad or not like an off-season roster, like not the AAF, not the XFL. So I did radio for Temple football, and I traveled with the team and did all the radio, color commentary for 97.5 Fanatic in Philly. And then like I did, I would when I lived in Cape May, I became friends with like the ESPN affiliate radio show down there, the FM affiliate 97.3. And Mike Gill, Mike's like, hey, man, you want to come fill in and do some radio for us? I've always called in. He's like, hey, Thanksgiving week, we're only doing Monday through Wednesday. We finished with this whole 99 bottles and we're giving away stuff on Wednesday. And it's at this bar and it's a whole fun thing. I'm like, no problem. I'd love to.
Yeah.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, I loved it. It was three straight days of fun. We're like in Chickies and Pete's in Atlantic City. We're at this bar here. Like, we did three straight days of like on the road. I think one day.
That's a very fun version of it.
Right.
What you were doing. You weren't doing the same ass studio every damn day.
Like, so that was great. And I was like, man, that's a 4 hours. We're talking about the same stuff. Like, I would do a serious show in a minute, right? If my career is over and, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think it would it had to be fresh. It had to be fresh. It had to be raw. We'd have to have some fun and some consistency and do a lot of different things. So it's a great question about it. Yeah.
Do you like the freedom of being able to like use profanity if you want?
Like, I will never we were off air. I was letting it go a little bit, but you know, when we're on air, especially while I'm playing, I don't think I've said anything worse than shit.
Yeah.
I think that's my level on the podcast. When I get pissed about something, I'm like, yo, this is
right.
This is a good bullshit. Yeah. I don't say the F-bomb. I don't do any of that. So I think we'll have to see when the career's over. Like, where am I gonna fall? How barstool am I gonna go? Like,
right.
That's
because NFL people, I've always noticed that, you know, working for PAR for so long, was, you know, NFL people, like, you guys control your shit. Like, you, because, you know, the shield, right? You, the image you're expected to portray. And if you don't, there's consequences. Like, very different than like NBA player. And like, they have that more freedom, it seems like, to, you know, if they want
they the NFL on their guys while they're playing, they're like, you know, get pucks in deep and play hard. And it's the same thing. And it's kind of, they're trying to get it more like Austin Matthews with the dress and the talk and the fun. But when they're all done, they just let it go. They don't care. Right. They're like, this is what we did. It was a party. So, yeah, it's a great question. I think there's a fine line. I think you can walk it. I think now, like, again, we talk a lot of Parstool, but like Busting with the Boys, like those guys, Taylor Lewan plays in the league and like he lets it go. There's not one thing he does not say.
He lets it go.
Yeah.
He is one of the best Twitter accounts on Twitter.
He lets it go, but he's a Pro Bowl type player. Right. So, you know, where you draw the line there? Mm-hmm. Like Will Compton, you know, he started in the league a little bit. He's bounced around.
Oh, that's I was thinking about Will. I was thinking about Compton.
Yeah, Compton.
I say about letting it go. When I referenced letting it go, I was thinking him.
Because he's done, right? So I think he's trying to still go. Maybe he's not. He may be retired. He may be his full podcaster. So I don't know. Like, it's a great question, though. Like, where do you draw the line? I think, you know, I think you can really do great radio and you don't have to, you know.
Oh, I hard agree.
For sure. I've done both. And, you know, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, whenever I do the Bob and Tom show, you just can't. It's FCC. And Pat's show was like that for a while when it was through Westwood One. And it really doesn't bother me at all. And sometimes that cussing, like if I listen back to one of our podcasts, if I'm losing confidence in something I'm saying, or, you know, I get into deep water, it's a crutch. I just said 47 fucks in like 30 seconds. Like,
yeah,
I'm so weak right now with the content that's coming out of my mouth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of good in a way when you can't.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Because you don't have those crutches.
It's a great point. It's a great point. Yeah, I'd have you guys on the show, though. That's what I would do. Or you ask my question, Todd. I would have.
Nice. I like it.
Man, did you always have hands, bro? You always just have these hands and you just catch everything?
You know what? I have. I've never had feet, but I've always had hands. I've really worked on my feet and the foot speed and the balance and all the things that came with it. I always, you know, but I've always had hands. My parents always tell stories like there was a ball in every room, like a hacky sack. There was like a little Tykes basketball. Like I used to bring a ball in the shower. Like people make fun of me for it. I'd work like over. I would like bounce the ball off the wall and like find it where it would bounce, and do things like that. And I always have, like, just always.
It's a damn good drill, actually. That's a great drill.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I can't get
to implement that.
I've always worked the lacrosse ball against the wall and like all these different things. Like, you can work it. You can really work hand-eye coordination. You can work with anything. You can do anything you want, like, with your body. Trust me, if there's some of the things that I've been able to do, like, I've had to work on it. If if I can do it, others can too, but it just takes time. So
I will let everybody know that I have thrown about 700 bags this morning.
Yeah.
Already. I'm already, I got my corn, at least I got two buckets of nine sets of bags in the garage, and I at an angle I could fit and throw them. Two sets of boards on the other end. I can only go one way though, because I don't have long enough for both ways. But I could set both sets of boards, so I sit in the middle of them. So I go one bucket inside arm, one bucket outside arm, bro. And then that's 72 bags every round.
Damn.
So you just got. I've already done it. I've done at least 8 rounds today, at least.
Who would win right now? You or McAfee?
I honestly, I want to say me. But it's just likely enough that I walk in here with this after years of playing since I've worked for him and still lose somehow. And the man will still find a way to hit. But if I'm on, and I want to say me for sure, because I can almost, when I'm on, I'm airmailing 3 and 4 in a row. But the guy's just really, I don't know. That's going to be honestly my that's going to be the game. That'll be the game I'm looking forward to at some point in my life again, is
maybe
playing him.
He's not happy. Maybe he's getting fat happy with his paycheck, you know?
No, he don't care. He's been rich for a long time, bro. He's had money for quite some time. So, I mean, obviously it's a different level because he fucking probably buy his own plane now. But yeah.
I'm waiting for that, too. I guarantee you he's going to buy a plane. That's the first text I sent him after he got the thing. I was like, bro, go buy that fucking jet. Because he always talked about wanting one.
Knowing people that are in that industry, like, you just get a little net jet, you get a little wheels up, you know.
Net jet all day, bro. Because you come up, plus like timesharing it, whatever.
Yeah, because man, that's like you're just dumping it. Like you're just
buying your own jets is dumping, unless you had to rent it out or some shit in between.
Yeah, that's stupid money where you just don't even.
Billionaire level shit. Just like I'll take the what's his name? Saturday Night Fever, John Travolta driving his 737 up to his front yard and shit.
That's unbelievable. I mean,
that's the aerial shots of his house with two different ones, like a jumbo jet, like a fucking commercial airliner, and then the other one's a small one, probably only a 20-30 seater.
Yeah, small.
Yeah, little and buddy one. You ever see the aerial?
I have. I've seen some of it. Yes.
It's still. I mean, his fucking runway with his house at the center.
Yeah, it's stupid. There's actually a neighborhood up here that it's a neighborhood on the back end of it. There's
a fucking tarmac.
So if you drive and you could drive through the neighborhood. And again, these houses aren't like John Travolta's. They're just like, you know, normal homes, but they have massive garages next to them. Massive. And they're hangars. And
no shit.
And you ain't shit unless you got a hangar, bro.
They're prop planes. And then you could like see the one, the guy that like doesn't want to spend for the hangar, so he's just got like kind of the overhang, and it's all open, but it just protects it from the rain. Like,
you know what?
If I had that Travolta money, dude, I'm definitely owning the jet. I wouldn't fuck with learning how to fly it myself like he does, but I would also like constantly have a team of Navy SEALs around me everywhere I go. Like, I would recruit Navy SEALs like right after their fourth year's up, be like, dude, don't resign, come work for me. And I would just be surrounded, and I would make them dress still like Navy SEALs.
I wonder what their opening salary is in the private sector once they get out of the military.
They're probably $100,000 at least. Yeah. They're six figures.
Gotta be more than that. Huh?
How many times? Yeah, I think it's funny. So I've been able to work with some awesome. Right, if we had that money, right? I've been able to work with some awesome like security guys over the years, like in different buildings, right? Like old NYPD, you know, and like. And look, they're not like in unreal shape anymore, but like, I think I would just love to have them around and pay them, you know. Like,
well, Todd was a detective, he was undercover and he was a state police detective for 22 years.
There you go, Todd. So, a lot of guys that retire from your spot are people that I know, at least not a lot, but some, they work with teams.
My buddy's doing it right now. He's working for the Colts, but he's doing it through, I think he actually works for the league. You know those guys that got to stand there and watch your practice and make sure that the team is doing everything that they're supposed to be doing for you guys?
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those people. He's like, it's awesome. I get paid just to go there and watch NFL practice.
Yeah, it's a great job. That's a great job. Yeah, it's a great job.
That's nice, I would rather guard Travolta, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I follow a couple different accounts on Instagram. It's like this couple. This dude just bought a Cessna. This is somewhere in New Jersey. And he's got a little two-seater Cessna, nice-ass Cessna. Probably, probably an 80s, that he keeps up real nice, an 80s, 1980s level Cessna. Probably $100,000 or something. I think I don't know. Anyways, he just shows him flying around with his lady. Just fucking bang. Hey, let's go. You want to go take a loop around the city? and he's just flying his, they just show him on his TikTok account hanging out, flying around fucking New York, bro.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is a great idea. And you could still take people up. You could charge. You could do tours and shit.
Oh, it's cool. I was at a crossroads. So, again, my buddy Ryan from Cape May Brew, they have a company plane, company little prop, you know, prop plane. And he does a lot of business out of it. And they do a lot of business out of it. And he's got a parachute in it. The Cirrus. I think it's C-I-R-U-S. Well,
I would only do that if they had a parachute.
Dude, it's incredible. So we flew to Wilmington, North Carolina to meet with the qualified captain on Instagram. For those who don't know, it's like pokes fun at everyone who like runs their boat into the ground or in sandbars or like boats falling in the water and cars falling in the water as they're trying to like drop the boat off. Like
right.
Just hysterical, like following. They're good peeps down there. So we flew down to meet with him and he's like, kind of got on the plane. I'm like, hey, how's the weather today, Ryan? He's like, weather's fine. I know you're probably a little nervous, but listen, if anything goes wrong, pull that red lever back, which is power, and then reach up and pull the ripcord down. He said, we'll land. This plane will land at 17 miles an hour. And we'll both walk away with no scratch.
That's
oh, wait, because it has a, oh, it has a, oh, the whole the plane has a goddamn parachute.
The plane.
That's awesome, dude.
Seriously.
I didn't know that, though. That's a little mind blowing. I didn't know they were doing that. I thought, I was like, as we're having this conversation, I was also thinking to myself, I would just have a parachute in the back. I'd probably wear it while or I'd have it right next to me. If some shit went wrong, I'd pop it on real quick. I didn't know they were putting parachutes on the whole fucking plane.
Cirrus. They're Cirrus planes. They're sweet. And we flew down. It's tremendous. I mean, the thing's like a Corvette right inside. And then whatever, if nothing went wrong, obviously. But
what's the flight from here to there?
So from Cape May to Wilmington, North Carolina was 2 hours.
So you're like, there in 2 hours, dude.
But like the best thing is, right, if I've had some friends that have little prop planes over the years, and I want one to just be, if we lived in Florida, like, oh, what do you want to do this weekend? Oh, you want to go to Key West? Okay. You want to go to Gainesville and watch a Gator game? Okay. Like, you want to go to Destin and hang on up? Like, that's the cool thing. And I asked him, like, you go to lunch? He's like, yeah, I go to lunch all the time. We'll just go to lunch, have a business meeting, and then fly
in
back.
In the plane?
Yeah.
Were they Uber from the whatever airport, wherever they land?
Yeah, you just Uber or you get the – they have, like, cars. Like, if you land there, you can take off. I mean, that's the life.
They always have a fleet of cars for the pilots. Like, they're free cars.
Sean, we'll just go to Kelly's. I'm going to fly up. We'll go to Kelly's. Done. We'll get, like –
bro, can I drive down and fly up with you and back? Because that's what I want to do. I want to fly to Kelly's.
Jumbo Reuben.
I'll drive to Cape May to fly to fucking Kelly's. So, wait, and your partner, the homie that has the plane, he's just the pilot?
Yeah, so he owns and operates Cape May Brew, and he operates that plane. Full. He takes it to work. He lives up outside of Philly, and he's down to Cape May.
I love that there's, like, test pilots always fascinate me. Like, there's some test pilot for that kind of plane that has to test whether or not the parachute works. So they got to go up and just kill the engine and just deploy that parachute, like, the very first time.
And you know, these aviation guys are like loving it though. They're people that are into it.
Yeah.
Like they are into it. I mean, they were trying to sell me on it. I'm like, I want to die. I don't want to die.
What's a plane like that run that he has? Quarter mil?
No more than that. No more than that.
More half a mil?
Oh, I bet.
They're upwards towards a mil, I think. Yeah.
Mil. I don't know what level of action we're talking about here.
Maybe half a mil. Half a mil. But I mean,
people have plenty of cars that well more than that that just sit around.
But again, it's a lot of money. I'm not saying it's a lot of money, but in the sense that it's not in a way where.
Hey, big business guys doing big business are doing this, and it's not a lot. I know that when we say it's not a lot of money, we don't mean like not to me. It's like a fucking kabillion dollars, but to a guy like that, that's not a lot of money. Like that is, but it's still a lot of money. Yeah, but relative. Yeah,
it's relative, right? It's all relative. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. My money,
but, I mean,
is nothing so compared to like a Christian McCaffrey's or someone else.
Right.
We don't all make that, folks. And again, like if we don't play, or every paycheck is played. Like, so when I went from the active roster to the practice squad, I'm not making active roster money anymore. Yeah, different paycheck. So, your salary looks nice, but it's not always the case.
Guys still all make the same money for preseason games?
Yeah. Everyone makes the same.
That's wild to me. Yeah.
Yeah. The preseason, the way, I mean, that's just like a gladiator sport, man. Guys are just giving it, you know, it's the same as football, but it's a normal football, but it's a different world because, you know, your body feels like crap. You're just going through all these preseason practices and then you got to go play in a preseason game. Guys are just absolutely laying their body on the line because they got one shot or whatever
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. The last preseason game, like, watch that one. Like, that's always like, you won't know anybody's name, but it's like, just malicious because you just
know. Yeah, you can see it in those hits, man. Like those people that are like literally fighting for their football lives. They're like the ones like when you watch war movies, like back in the Middle Ages, the front row that are sacrificing themselves. Like
kick off, return, and usually kickers kick it at the back, right? Well, not in preseason because the coaches want you to get filmed. So if you're going to play on another team. Right, they want you to see, like, hey, listen, you're not going to sign with us in Carolina, but we want you to go somewhere else. You're a great guy. So the kicker's going to hang it up so you can go cover it. So it's literally like our joint practice with the Colts the second day, because you have 2 days on joint practice now. So if it's a little physical the first day, like, what do you think the second day is going to be? Like, it's like, like a hockey game. You got to answer the bell, right? Like, it's coming. So it literally, I was like, it felt like we were running across like the desert, like with like a shield on and like a knife. I'm just like running across the field, like on kickoff return. I'm like, this guy's going to run right through me. You know?
I would love to see everybody with the helmet cam on during that, bro. Just that perspective of a fucking real war. Like, that's the most contact of any sport that doesn't involve any sort of engine.
Yeah.
Like, what's heavier than that?
Monsters at full speed.
20 miles an hour. I mean, I don't run that, but I'm run below that. But a lot of guys are, you know, running down on kickoff.
What'd you say? How fast?
25 miles an hour.
Just fucking 300 pounds, 250, 350, just at 20 miles an hour. Banging, bro. Well, that's fucking demolition derby level.
These fast guys, right, run like 22, 23. And like you got to catch up to them, right? And then I can like if they slow down, then they're playing in my world now, which is great. If they keep their speed, then I'm playing in their world, which is not good. But again, like your leverage on the block, all that, they got to slow down eventually or run through you. And then if they run through me, I'm gonna grab them, and they're 180 pounds, right? So then you run that battle. But the problem is, what's happening is these big guys are all running like that now. So you look over, like that's a defensive end. He's 265 pounds. He's 275. He's running down on kickoff like that. Like, okay, here we go. Let me tighten my chin strap a little bit more. So it's a great game. I mean, the game's safer than it's ever been. I tell parents that all the time when my kids playing. I'm like, listen, when I started, let's say 2008 was my freshman year of high school. 08, I started 4 years before that. Let's see. No, sixth grade I started. So let's just say 05.
Yeah.
05 is when I started playing football. I mean, we had one water break. You had to earn it, right? That's not that long ago to think about that.
Like, it's not really.
So that the game's way different. We hit every day in practice. We were pads all the time. Now in youth, we're teaching tackling. Like we're teaching different ways to tackle. Everything's healthier. I'm trying to get the high school guys to calm down more. Like, hey, walk through today. Like, let's get the guys' bodies back. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, this is what we let's calm down. We get treated really well, but it's for a reason. The seasons are long. So,
right.
The game's changed. The game's safer than it's ever been. For parents listening, like, oh, football, like, that's crazy. Honestly, I feel safer now than I did when I was in high school.
That's good. That's what it's supposed to be. I mean, it stayed savage for a long time. I mean, that's
savage. And people miss that, right? But, like, I'm a human being, and, like, I want to be able to speak to my kids. And Right? So, like, I get what they're saying, because that's why I watched the game when I was a kid. But I'm happy now running across the middle. Like, yeah, I'm going to get jacked up. Don't get me wrong. But there's a little bit more protection now. Like, you can't just go decapitate guys anymore.
Yeah, Ronnie Lott isn't roaming around the secondary anymore.
Ryan Dawkins, you know, they have that in them as players.
Oh,
But it's calculated, you know?
You can't do it now like that. If you don't know shit about Ronnie Lott and you listen to this episode, go Google him or Brian Dawkins.
Oh.
And just put highlights after it and just watch people die.
He cut the tip of his finger off when it broke, like so he could get back in the game. Dude, yeah, it's a complete savage.
People were dying. I mean, I don't know how people have more ruptured shit in their bodies taking those hits.
It's a different game. Like, and then again, like we know all these guys. After the game, you're swapping jerseys.
Yeah.
It's been more of that. When before there wasn't, I think, free agency, back in the day. You know, you were with teams like forever.
Yeah.
So now it's like, hey, you know, I could be playing with you guys next week. You know, I could be.
That's a great point. Yeah, because it was easier to hate and develop enemies that way when you stayed on the same damn team for your whole career.
Yeah, like Corey Clement, who I was just watching the game the other night. Corey Clement is a Jersey guy, South Jersey guy, and Corey played for the Eagles and caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And like he's playing with the Dallas Cowboys now. Like they're supposed to hate each other. So much as fans hate it, the game's changed. Social media has changed it. You know, endorsements change it, agents change it. A guy on every team my agent represents. You know, my agent saying, hey, make sure you see him after the game, say hi. So, yeah, good stuff.
Still the greatest sport.
But still, hey, they're still running 22 miles an hour, banging in the middle right there.
Right.
On those kickoffs. And they ain't getting, nothing going to change that shit.
We still do it between the lines. It just changes all the time. You know, we all
train. Everything else.
All train together in L.A. or Tampa. You know, so it's just, it's a different game. The game's still unbelievable quality, right? Like, we can all agree upon, it's unbelievable. It's great.
Do you love taking care of the machine, your body? Like, are you that kind of person anyway? Or are you the kind of person, because I've seen it both ways. Like, some guys, when they're done with football, they're just like, thank God, I don't have to freaking work out anymore. And I don't care what I look like, you know?
I'll take care of it for sure. Okay. You always have to for your health. Like, you just, like, you've had enough violent hits. You have to, I think, when you're done. I think it's easier said than done. I'm going to take care of it. But, you know, for your mental health, like, working out now, like, that's the big thing. Like, during COVID, like, yeah, obviously you have to stay in and be healthy, but at the end of the day, like, your mental health, and a lot of it has to do with physical movement. So, yeah, like, so today's my off day. I will swim. That's, like, the biggest thing I've added to my game over the last couple of years that I've really enjoyed. I'll swim a couple laps. I'll do a whole pool aerobic workout and just get that low back kind of calmed down and get everything moving. And then I'll sit in the sauna for about 30 minutes. And then that's kind of my off day. Get a massage, not a pleasant one. I'm not at a spa. I'm getting killed.
Yeah.
By my friend Renee over here, who works on all the NASCAR guys that live here in Charlotte, and she beats the hell out of me. So that's kind of my day off.
What's your favorite food? What do you like? Are you a food guy? Like, man, do you live for
big
it?
Food guy.
Big food guy. Big
what's your favorite?
Oh, man, any pasta dish, you know? Like, I just, I'm a pasta boy. So, like, good. I've been eating good. I weighed in a little heavier the other day. So, like, last night was just all, like, steak and chicken and salad. Like, you know, like, I'm just going to try to go that route here for the next, you know, finish the season strong and be healthy as I can. Cause it's tough. The holidays come, Thanksgiving comes, and you get like, whatever. We got a tough practice tomorrow. I'm going to have this, you know? And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, man, I just did a lot of calorie content.
You know? So I'm talking about calories. I got a deep fryer for Christmas.
Oh,
one of those outside ones. You just got a little rack to sit the pot, you know, your thing on. You got the two baskets. And you just go bonkers deep frying. This thing is a game changer. It's nothing like at the house, bro. I'm a fried chicken master now.
Oh, bro.
I made 120 deep fried chicken wings this week, but I also made a sauce for Korean fried chicken wings, basically.
It'll ruin you doing it, cooking them yourself, because like my lady and I now, we hate all wings at restaurants now. Like, we're like, these taste like shit. Ours are so much better.
It makes your operation commercial at home.
Yeah.
Having your own deep fryer is a different, I mean, and I got an air fryer too. I haven't busted that open, but the deep fryer, because I made chicken, my girl's family came over. There's about 30 people here, kids, adults, maybe even more, a little 30 something amount. And I was just out there going bonkers. But you could also, a little fried chicken tip here for extra strong, delicious skin. Go with a double fry. You're going to want to fry around 275 for about 18 minutes. Take those out. Let them cool down on the side. Okay. Maybe do another round of the 18 minutes at 275. Got to light down. Then when they're cool, put them back in at about, you know, at 350 range, the deep fryer for about five to eight minutes. And you're going to get a different level of crunch and just like that level, that restaurant level of quality fried chicken.
Yeah.
I've been eating fried chicken for the next day after Christmas, we still had about 50 wings left. And I had breaded already and with the baking powder, cornstarch mix that we breaded up already. So I just turned the fryer back on, added some oil and went bonkers, ate them all day on Sunday.
That's a horrible gift though. Like, I would be a unit. Like, I would just be like, like, that's a great gift. It's the best gift. Probably the number one gift. Like that.
The air fryer. I was on with the Twitter for some recipes, but
cooking at home now. There's so many great recipes. Like, how's that affect the restaurant industry? Not too much, because people become more foodies now. Like, everyone's a foodie.
I mean, it's hurting them. Guys like me are basically becoming like full-on chefs now. Like, and my food's so good, I don't want to leave the house. That's got to hurt restaurants.
Yeah.
Like, before, the last thing I wanted to do, I've always liked cooking, but not to this level. Like, COVID made me really enjoy cooking. Like, you know, watching Sean, like, I've learned a lot of stuff from living together with him and stuff, but I never got how much fun it was until COVID. I'm like, dude, I almost would rather sit here and make a meal right now than I would, you know, play a video game or some shit.
Yeah.
Well, it's an art thing. People don't understand. They always, because you either look at it like that or you don't. And if you look at it like that, then it's not a chore or anything. It's like people who enjoy painting or whatever. Like, it's the same shit. If I can have a glass of wine or a beer or a cocktail, and some of us, I'll take a couple of puffs off of a pipe. You know what I mean? And I'm in there focused, kid.
Soon focused. I'll be brewing my own beer. Once I do that, I'm never leaving the house.
Yeah.
Oh, you, what, you got something for Christmas, Todd? You got a little beer brewer?
No, but it's coming. I know it's coming. I can feel it. I spend way too much time here doing my own shit now. I might as well start brewing my own beer.
Might as well. We built a bar in Todd's backyard, Colin.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. Fantastic.
I'll send you pictures of it. It's we turned his shed bar that wasn't doing nothing except helping fucking little rodents hang out in the winter. And into we turned it into a sweet ass bar.
You get the lights, the Christmas lights going, the whole
Yeah.
Nettie took another, she got motivated, got another shed. His lady, that's her web, because she does teaches around the country, but from on Zoom. Yeah. So she has her classroom fucking shed out there.
Yeah,
Todd's going to end up getting 8-9 more sheds. People going to move in. We're going to have a village back there, a full on ecosystem in Todd's backyard.
It's my goal to have a whole shed town back there and a boardwalk that runs between them all, like old West days, you know? Town. Yeah.
And you can only have Shetland ponies in there too. That's what's going to kind of like a little niche that we're going to do.
Think about $20 Chef, right? Think about how much that's been shared out, all those videos over the years,
mm-hmm.
to all these different people. I mean, I save so much. I have food saved on Instagram, like so many recipes.
Me too.
Right. And then you just go through that and you're like, what do I want to do tonight for dinner? Before it was options. Like, where are we going to dinner?
Now, yeah. Again, yeah. That's how it feels when you cook. Like I went to work though on Christmas, bro. I did 5 racks of lollipop lamb chops.
Oh.
I did 2 full fillets roasts. And then I did 110 wings or some shit like that, 100 wings. But I don't know. You know what else? Like I've slowly, like, the better you get at cooking, also everybody starts to recognize it.
Yes.
And then requests start coming. And then suddenly, you got to fucking, you're for 2 weeks, you're working on the menu and the operation and how it's all going to roll out.
Well, here's my question for you. Who are like the guys that like, or ladies that came outside like, hey man, how'd you do these wings? Like, you know, like tell me about it. Like, cause people want to know now, like people are like intrigued. Like the nice thing about the cooking industry is just, I mean, at least when at home, like there's not an ego with it. It's like, oh man, Sean can really cook. But like, people want to know, like, how'd you make it, or what you doing, or what you cooking on your Traeger. It's like a whole, it's more of a conversation piece now than it's ever been, because everyone mm-hmm. can kind of do it. Like, how many people now say, like, oh, I'll never cook? They're like people that are set in their ways. So how many people are outside just with a beer, like a jacuzzi and a stogie, like, hey, Sean, like, what are you doing with the wings tonight?
Yeah. No, a lot of people want to know what's up with the sauce, because what I'll do with the sauce for the Korean wings, you got some rice vinegar in there. You got ketchup, some zhuzhang. It's called zhuzhang sauce. It's basically, it's like a sriracha, but it's a little bit more chunky. It's a sauce like that, a hot sauce. Then, you know, you put in some brown sugar, a bunch of honey, right?
You got to post this.
Oh, I did this episode. I don't know, but it was so long ago. I mean, I've done 300 or whatever. So, you get lost in them. But originally I did this, and that's why I learned this double fry technique. And then I had the sauce, but the ginger is where it's at with these wings.
Money.
Me and my lady sat and peeled probably 2 pounds of ginger, and if raw ginger. And if you ever bought it, it looks like the little, tree trunks with branches coming off. It sucks to peel that shit. But that's where it's that for this one, that got people go, what's that? What's the flavor going on here? What's happening here? And I'm like, that's the ginger. But also with this one, the little technique that really ups the flavor is that the day before I bread them, I put all of them out. I season them with baking soda, salt, pepper, and pepper, baking soda, and minced garlic, and then the chopped up ginger. So it's completely covering all the wings. And then I let that sit overnight, and then you bread them so that the breading catches all the pieces of ginger and garlic and what. And so when you're deep frying, that's in the chicken before the sauce even hits it. You're biting and you're eating the chicken, and you're like, I'm catching all this flavor that you normally don't get when you eat regular fried chicken. Then you throw the sauce in, just lightly coated. But the ginger is the secret on that operation, bro. The hot sweetness. But, you know, and if you want to know a little history about about fucking Korean fried chicken, guys. That stems from when we had the Korean War and the American soldiers took all their fried chicken recipes and all their things that they made and what they know about fried chicken, the way Americans do it, and they combined it with Korean culture, which and that's where the sweet hotness came from, the sesame seed and all that.
See, Everybody says nothing good comes from war. Sometimes it does. Sometimes global aggression pays off, and you end up with a new food recipe.
Korean fried chicken wings are on point. I mean, listen, I don't like what happened when we were in the Korean War because it was a lose-lose all around.
Right.
But at least we got this recipe.
I mean, that recipe and those videos where the dad comes home from war and the little kid, he surprises his little kid. His little kid, right? Like, that almost makes war worth it, too. Like, I love watching those videos. And if we stop having wars, there's going to be no more surprising your kid videos.
I'm the opposite with those videos. Like, I can't watch them. I don't want to cry today.
Oh, they make me ball up every time.
He's like, Jesus, the kid had no idea his dad's here. 2 seconds ago, his dad was in Afghanistan. Now when he's not, he's here. Now he's all worked up, bro.
Now he's behind the plate with umpire gear on.
Yeah.
The
kid's
good.
Like, I'm out. I can't do it. Like, right before the good stuff, I'm like, scroll.
Shit, man. Hey, we appreciate you, man. We appreciate your time. We're running along here. And we appreciate you giving us the time on your day off. We know you. So we got the Saints again this week. Obviously, Panthers took them down. I believe it was in week 3, in a nice fashion as well. So, how injured is your team right now?
Ian Book doesn't start. I mean, geez,
we got a lot of I didn't watch the game last night. I watched the film today. I needed a little break, but I watched the film of them, watched the last couple games and all that, and get ready to play them again and watch our old game against them and see what they try to do to us. But yeah, man, we got them, then we finished with Tampa. So you got, obviously, I think at this point we're out of the playoffs, but again, you got a chance to finish strong here. That's what we want to do. And on the road, two tough places to play. Heading to NOLA and then headed to Tampa, their final game of the year. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great little finish of the year. Got to finish strong, push through, hit the restart button.
I'm going to subscribe also to Not For Long right now.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, Not For Long Media. Just had a podcast.
Get on there and get on their YouTube as well. All his interviews, you want to check out all the fun interviews he was talking about, he's got going. Head over to his YouTube there, Not For Long Media on YouTube as well, Colin Thompson. Looking forward to you closing out this season strong, buddy, and looking forward to linking up in this offseason. We appreciate you and all your time for coming out today on the show.
Looking forward to getting North Jersey with you guys and having some drinks. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, bro, let's get to Kelly's, bro.
Oh, then we'll hit the Schleyley Club, and then we'll be done. That will be fine.
I'm all in, bro. There's a bar right next to my old house, Todd. I've lived here with my lady, and it's like our local little bar really close to the house. Like, I could walk there. Oh. And that was one of our coincidental things that we had, is that he also was a big, huge fan and been going to that place forever. So,
yes,
Kelly's is our spot. I got the hoodie, though. You know, I got the camouflage hoodie with the cutoff sleeves.
Guys are great there. Again, a place I grew up sitting at with my dad. He visited his college buddies, my Uncle Mark there, Mark Chadwick, and just a lot of good times in Belmar as a kid. Loved it. Still go now.
Hey, we'll catch up with you, buddy. Appreciate you, my man.
Appreciate you guys. Talk soon.
Later.
Later, bud.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.